You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
You're listening to Done by Law, brought to you by the Federation of Community Legal Centres.
Welcome to Done by Law on 3CR, 855 AM. And also welcome to those listening via various podcast platforms or via streaming on 3cr.org.au. You're with Bonnie tonight, and it's just after 6 PM on Tuesday, 5th of May, 2026. As always, we would like to start tonight's show by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation as the original and rightful custodians of the land that 3CR broadcasts from. We pay our deepest respects to elders past and present and acknowledge these lands were stolen, never ceded, always was, and always will be Aboriginal land. Tonight, we're joined on the show by Claire, Serena, and Ella, three lawyers from the Wirraway practice at the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service. And they're here to talk to us tonight about police and prison accountability work that they do and what they're seeing on the ground as Victoria's bail laws get tougher. Wirraway is a Wurundjeri word meaning challenge, and the Wirraway practice provides free legal help to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander clients who have experienced harm because of the actions of police or prison authorities. It's a timely discussion tonight, as last month marked the 35-year anniversary since the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody handed down its final report. And yet, we know that sadly, since then, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are still dying in custody with at least 630 deaths nationally since 1991, and the numbers continue to rise. At the same time, Victoria's recent bail law changes have made it harder for people to get bail, which means that more people are being held on remand in custody, adding pressure to prisons and police cells and increasing risks for those people in custody. So we're really grateful tonight to have Claire, Serena and Ella on the show to talk to us about their insights into the flow-on effects of bail reform and the changes they are seeing in community as a result of harsher and sometimes unlawful policing. Welcome to the show, Claire, Serena and Ella.
Thanks, Bonnie.
So I think we'll just jump in and get started. I want to first start with the work that your team does in the Wirraway practice. So it's a legal practice focusing on police and prison accountability. If you could help to explain for the listeners, what kinds of legal problems do people come to your team with? Who wants to take this? Maybe Serena, jump in.
So our team in the Wirraway practice, we mainly help with three kinds of issues. Issues with broad issues with police, issues with prisons, and that includes youth justice and coronial inquests. So in our police practice, we mostly assist with helping people sue the police in court where the police have done something unlawful. So this could be where police have unlawfully arrested someone or searched someone, or they've used excessive force. And we can also give advice about police complaints, but because in Victoria we've got a system where police complaints are handled by a body within Victoria Police, the system falls drastically short because, you know, police investigating themselves are never going to deliver real accountability. No. And we also do some strategic litigation in relation to police custody issues, which we'll talk more about in a minute. In our prison practice, we do a lot of outreach visiting people in prison. We advocate to ensure that people's human rights are being protected whilst they're in prison. And we can also help people sue prisons for negligence, for injuries they suffer in prison. And one of our biggest priorities is representing the people are the families of people who've passed after contact with the police or prison system in the coronial process. And we hope to and help assist families to get answers and to hold these systems to account. And we also help with, we work with a lot of young people as well and help with any of these issues with police or prisons with young people as well.
Yeah, wow. That's really such an incredible range and so important, the work that you do. So I guess in terms of where we're at now, and as we said in the introduction, or as I said in the introduction, this year we have the 35th anniversary of that final report from the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. They made several very important recommendations. I think the number is 399 to be exact. And yet we still have so many deaths since then. 630 is the number. I'm interested to know from the work that you do, the very important work, and what you're seeing from that work as the core themes across coronial inquests, inquiries and community advocacy. What do you see that governments keep failing to act on? Maybe Claire?
Thanks, Bonnie. Yeah, I guess sticking with the core areas that Serena just mentioned that we address as well, starting with police, thinking about this current government particularly, pandering to populism and rhetoric about, tough on crime, increase in crime. We're seeing huge funding announcements and recruitment drives for more police. And framing around community safety. So I guess, we know from our experience that more police increases crime rates and crime statistics and also puts the most vulnerable people in our community at risk as well and criminalises poverty really puts the most vulnerable people at risk. And it means more people are arrested, more people end up in custody, which leads to more issues in police cells, prisons, and eventually deaths in custody, as we know. Similarly, the government also continues to invest huge amounts of money into the prison system. Recently we had an announcement of another $727 million in the last budget to expand prison capacity. We know from the recommendations from the Royal Commission, and we know from inquests, that investment in prisons doesn't lead to safer communities. It just causes more harm. In prisons, we see failings in healthcare. It's completely inadequate. We still have privatised healthcare in prison that's not equivalent to what someone's able to access in the community. The parole system's completely broken. People aren't able to access parole in line with recommendations of judges at sentencing because they can't access things like programs. We kind of see that this is all by design as well within the broken prison system. Lastly, again, with coronials, coronial inquests, we see, failure to address systemic causes that come up again and again and have done since the Royal Commission. It's just recommendation after recommendation, and the same things keep occurring. We kind of see tinkering around the edges with small details and not real systemic change.
Yeah, it's such a shame. I think especially, you might see that headline of all this money being put in, towards these, trying to tackle these problems, but really they seem to be putting the money towards the wrong thing. Yeah. More police, more money towards prisons. And we know, we've heard this from inquiry after inquiry, that's not going to make our community safer. So, it's a real shame to see that continue to happen. And I guess leading on from that tough on crime approach is now these changes that have happened to Victoria's bail laws over the last couple of years. It would be helpful for the listeners to have, I guess, a quick run through of what these bail changes are. I'll throw to Ella, if that's all right.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm definitely not an expert.
We're not criminal lawyers.
We're not criminal lawyers. We don't know entirely the very minutiae of it. But I think essentially it's become harder to get bail as a result of these tough on crime kind of policies. So there were reforms after the really staunch advocacy of Veronica Nelson's family after her passing, and there were changes made and they've been repealed, and it just means that it's much harder for people to get bail and that has a disproportionate impact on our clients. And like Claire was saying, the kind of compounding disadvantage is exacerbated by how much harder it is to get bail.
So then I guess let's then turn to the conditions that you guys are seeing, and I guess thinking of the changes that have happened, what is that impact on people in custody, on the broader community as well? I saw recently that VALS took urgent action about a client who had been held in police cells for weeks. And I understand that client was not sentenced. They were still on remand, so awaiting trial, but still in police custody, so not yet in a prison. Can you explain for our listeners what's been happening with people being kept in police stations for extended periods, and why is this such a serious issue? Maybe we'll come back to Serena.
Yeah, so as a result of these bail laws making it so much harder for people to get bail, and way more people being arrested due to the toughened crime policies and the increase in police and protective service officers, there are many more people being arrested and remanded, so kept in prison or custody while they're waiting for their trial or the criminal matter. And this just means that prisons are being completely overwhelmed and that they're unable to keep up with the policing practices. So vulnerable people are being held in police cells for an extended period of time. And you might hear these police cells referred to as watch houses. So essentially the government is putting all this money and resources into putting people into custody. But once they get there, the system's completely overwhelmed and people are being stuck there.
Mm. And so I think as well, to help the listener understand, what is it actually like in a police cell? If you can explain, maybe Claire, talk about that a bit more.
Yeah, sure. So I guess, one of the amazing sources of information that we have for learning about what's happening in cells is our custody notification officers at VALS. So that's a service get a notification every time an Aboriginal person is taken into police custody, and then they conduct welfare checks on that person. And, from speaking to these officers, we've learned that police cells are overcrowded. They're really unsanitary. They're small cells with toilets in the room. There's no privacy. Mm. People are not getting access to medical treatment, including things like managing withdrawals that we know really puts people at serious risk. Often people are not getting any access to fresh air or outside time, and phone calls and contact with family are not readily available. Just basic things that people can't access. And we've also heard from these custody notification officers of alarming behaviour by Victoria Police officers as well, including some reports of racist commentary.
I can't even imagine, on top of having your liberty taken away, to not even get access to fresh air for an extended period of time. That sounds incredibly inhumane and almost torture, I would say. So I think we're approaching half time now almost on the show. So for listeners that might have just tuned in after we started, we're here at Done By Law, and we'll go to a community service announcement now, and we'll be back shortly after. Welcome back to Done By Law on 3CR Community Radio with Bonnie. We're speaking tonight to the Wirraway team about their very important work, challenging police misconduct, prison harm, and also the impact that the recent bail reforms in Victoria are having on this work. So before the break, we went over those bail reforms, and we also talked about the concerns that you've seen from your work, and the concerns that VALS has more broadly about the conditions of people being held in police custody for long periods of time. I want to now turn to another issue that we've seen Vowels do some media about. And some listeners may also be aware that there have been rolling lockdowns at Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, which is one of Victoria's largest women's prisons. Can you run us through what you're hearing from clients and community in terms of what has been happening at this centre, if I go to Ella?
Yeah, sure. So I think as we've been talking about, there has been investment in prisons, but what we're seeing is that there's severe staff shortages. So it means that there's not enough people to do the security protocols that are required to be done. And so for, I think, from June 2024, clients started reporting that women at Dame Phyllis Frost were being locked down kind of on a rolling basis. So if you're in a certain unit on a Monday, you're just locked down for that day, which means you can't go outside, you're not getting your hour outside of fresh air, and you can't get to the programs that you might need to be eligible for parole or those sorts of things. So it's having a really big impact on women who are kind of stuck with these staff shortages, which are obviously not to do with them. And it continues now. We've been doing outreach still, I guess, 2 years after that, and still hearing similar things about rolling lockdowns and also just more ad hoc lockdowns where someone calls in sick and it means that you have to stay in your cell for 23 hours.
Gosh, again, it just goes to this this issue of humane treatment, really. When we are taking away somebody's liberty, there's still, you know, dignity to be provided, which is not happening here clearly. So I guess you've touched on this a little bit, Ella, but maybe we can unpack it a bit more for listeners to help understand what we're talking about when we say lockdown. So what does this mean in practice? I'll throw to you, Claire, I'm getting. Particularly I think for Aboriginal women and people who are already dealing with trauma, disability, or maybe withdrawal.
Yeah, sure. And I was just going to add to what Alice said as well, I guess just the direct link to the bail changes, particularly at DPFC. I don't have the statistics in front of me, but just the huge increase in the amount of women at DPFC, particularly Aboriginal women, and the huge percentage of those people who are unsentenced there as well, because of the tougher bail laws. But I guess the lockdowns were a consequence of that, because the prison was not set up for this huge increase in women. It was just complete organisational dysfunction led to this situation, which, as you said, is inhumane. I guess thinking about what those lockdowns looked like for women, as Ella touched on, for a large proportion of women impacted by lockdowns, they would be confined to a single cell during that time. So in certain units, that means being locked in a room by yourself, sometimes exceeding 24 hours a day. Often this would happen with no warning, so a person's not able to, you know, get word to their family that they're okay. That caused huge distress for people. People couldn't prepare food before they were locked down, and so were often going without meals. People would lose access to telephone calls, medical appointments would be missed, even legal phone appointments would be missed. Accessing cultural supports for Aboriginal women became really difficult without being able to move around the prison freely and access places like the Aboriginal Healing Unit, or also just to mix with other Aboriginal women at the centre and keep those connections. And it just compounds people's trauma being put in that situation. Some of the, I guess, testimony that we were able to gather from the women impacted was just so shocking. It's just, so traumatizing. And I can't even imagine what that would be like. And it was hard for people to explain how severe the impact of those lockdowns were.
I can't imagine. So I guess then looking forward, you know, in terms of these issues that you're seeing on the ground and the impacts of flowing from bail reform, what do you see is needed going forward? Is it as simple as repealing the recent and other reforms, or, you know, if that's not simply going to happen in the current politic, what else could Allan's government do to prevent these horror stories from continuing to happen?
How long have we got? The government really needs to listen to what, you know, VOWS and other community organisations have been saying for a long time, too long, and invest in genuine community-led solutions in the criminal legal system. The government just keeps pursuing punitive measures, like locking people up, that don't address any of the underlying causes of offending behaviour. So, like, for example, we know the younger someone comes into the contact with the criminal legal system and the younger they're put into prison, the longer they are likely to spend in the justice system. Mm. So, you know, locking people up is creating more crime and it's creating more harm. And when people come into the contact with the criminal legal system, they're often in an extremely vulnerable state. So they're often injured, or many people are victims of crime themselves. And so locking people up is just creating more harm. But until the narrative, you know, this tough on crime narrative that the government's been pushing can be changed to an evidence-based conversation, like, we know the evidence goes against tough on crime policies.
Mm.
Prisons don't work. Increased policing doesn't work. We're going to continue to see these harms, and when support or the visions led by the community, real justice outcomes can be achieved. And until then, while the government's appealing to populism, the media is going to continue to drive these policies, and something that's got an unimaginable impact on human life.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it really comes back to what we were discussing at the start. You know, we know through those inquiries, through, you know, Royal Commission after Royal Commission, the answers are there, and they're not being followed, unfortunately. So I then, in terms of our listeners, and if anybody knows of any, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, if they find themselves dealing with police, or if they have a loved one who's in custody and would like some assistance, can they contact you for support?
Yes, definitely. That's the idea. We do intake calls. We have a big team who can speak to anyone who has concerns or issues about the way that they've been treated by police. Even in small interactions, sometimes it maybe doesn't seem like a big thing, but we're happy to help with anything that we can where people feel like something has gone wrong where they've interacted with police. And then also if anyone's taken into custody, like Claire was talking about, the custody notification service will be doing welfare checks, but they can also refer people over to our team to get in contact and check in. And then equally, anyone in custody is able to reach us to raise issues about any issues that they're having. Yeah.
Okay, great. And so for the rest of our listeners who want to keep up to date with the good work that you're doing, how can they keep up to date with We're Away and VOWS?
I think definitely check out the VOWS Instagram page, and then also on our website as well, which is vows.org.au. There's information about We're Away team and the work that we do.
Okay, fantastic. Great.
Come find us on High Street. Can you come in, have a yarn?
Yeah.
We're there all the time.
In beautiful new offices on High Street. Yeah.
Swish.
So I guess then, is there anything else that you wanted to say before we close off about these issues? No?
Nothing we can say on radio.
No. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very fair. Well, then we need to close. I just want to say a really big thank you to Claire, Serena and Ella for coming in to the show tonight and sharing with us your insights into the impact that the bail reform is having on the clients that you work with and the broader community. I know your team is so busy. You've got so many really important matters on at the moment. So really big, big thank you for your time tonight. And so for those that want to keep up to date on the work of the Wirraway team and the work of VALS, or the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, more broadly, as you've heard, check out the Instagram page or go to www.vals.org.au and navigate to the Wirraway page there. You've been listening to Done by Law on 3CR, 8:55 a.m., or streamed at 3cr.org.au and available on various podcast platforms.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.